Clutch your pearls and hide your children. It's another episode of Surly Voices here on WMNF Tampa 88.5. I am your host this morning, Liz. And at the front part of the show, I will give you the Surly disclaimer. The opinions expressed on Surly Voices are those of the Surly Feminists for the Revolution and not necessarily those of WMNF or the folks who work here. So we've got a lot of exciting things to talk about today. Number one, my very favorite day of the year is fast approaching. Gasparilla on Saturday. We will be talking about Gasparilla and the history of Gasparilla. But first, we're going to get another side of the story from the infamous Surly Weekend in New Orleans. And for that, I have a very special guest joining us. Nadia, can you hear me?
Good morning, Liz.
Hello. So those of you who are long-term listeners to the show recall Nadia being with us when we first started out, and then she up and moved to Texas and started a brand new life. And so we were celebrating Nadia in the French Quarter a few weekends ago. So Nadia, catch us up a little bit. Tell us what's been going on with you. And then we will talk about the infamous Surly Weekend.
So I guess I've been here in Dallas now, what, about 3 years?
It's been a while, yeah.
It's been about 2.5 years or so, yeah. So we left Tampa about 2.5 years ago. I moved into a home with me and my kids and started a great job that I love, and I just was happy to go to New Orleans and enjoy the weekend with my longtime friends.
Now, when...
Why did we enjoy it?
When it all started out, did you think that it would end up as wild as it was?
Never.
No, not even in my wildest imagination.
Like first Surly Hangover edition.
The only thing we did not see was Mike Tyson and the tiger. So
nobody lost a tooth.
Nobody lost a tooth. There you go. Tell us a little bit about because this was the first time you had experienced New Orleans and the French Quarter and all that, right?
Yes, I had been once before, but just passing through, and I didn't get to spend any real time there.
All right. I'm going to try to loop in Amina, so hold on real quick. Amina, can you hear me?
Yes.
All right. Nadia, do we still have you?
I am.
Awesome. I did it. Yes. All right. So catch us up on the Surly Weekend from the Nadia perspective. This is your first.
I had no idea that the French Quarter of New Orleans was like a southern Las Vegas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Complete with casino and everything.
Yeah. It was really interesting. It's almost like a different culture. I mean, let's see. New Orleans is, 8 hours away from Dallas by car?
Mm-hmm.
And it's literally completely different culture.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I want to go again, actually.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't see, you saw hardly any of it, really. You saw, yeah, so, yeah, we definitely need to go back.
The food was amazing. The people were most of them, anyway. Most of them were super nice and super friendly. We just had a really good time, and I was surprised by all the type of, like, you know, how, what, like, type of, what I mean, like, voodoo, witchcraft, what is the word I'm looking for?
Supernatural.
There we go. Maybe that's the word. Yeah, that type of, that was really popular.
Yes.
There's a lot of, like, you know, like, mystical crystal stores and, you know, those kind of things. I want to go back again, honestly.
Absolutely, yeah, because you didn't see half. I mean, not you didn't even see, I would say, a quarter of it, because there's just so much to see and do there. But it's a great place if you're going to go and have a girls' weekend. Travel in packs, because things happen.
Yeah.
In case you didn't hear our show last week, Donna and I were talking about how two of the party got roofied. So, yeah, you want to travel in packs at all times. So tell us, Nadia, what are you, because your life has changed like 100% since you got to Dallas. So tell us what are the biggest obstacles you've had, and what kind of challenges you've taken on and overcome.
I guess I think the biggest change has been I'm no longer married. That's a pretty big change.
Right. Lost 200 pounds real quick. Yeah.
So there's that. Being a single mom, you know, that's probably the biggest challenge. And now, as of this week, I have three teenagers.
Nadia,
so, how long will you marry?
I'm sorry?
How long will you marry?
Oh, I was married 17 years.
That is a big change.
That's a big change. I was married at 21, so I was very young. I learned a lot, you know. What else can I say?
I learned when to call it a draw and
step out. That was enough.
Yeah, and for everybody, it's a different time, and sometimes it never comes, but when it does, it's like, okay, it's not something that can be forced. You have to be ready to make a change, so.
Yes, and I'm thankful, even though, you know, some people ask, well, you know, well, if it was like that, well, then why did you stay married so long or whatever, but you're right. You know, at least I left and I didn't, you know, stay 50 years.
Well, yeah. And I mean, you can't judge another person's situation because what works for one person isn't going to necessarily work for another. And so it's a highly individualized choice to make.
One of my best friends said to me at the time, she was like, you know, you're still, I was, you know, I'm under 40. And she's like, in another 10 years, you might not have the strength to do this, mentally or physically.
That's true.
Yeah. So does it feel liberating?
It feels extremely liberating.
Yeah.
Especially, you know, without getting too much detail, there was an amount of abuse. So, you know, and it's kind of different, kind of navigating your way now as a... someone who now can make or financial decisions on their own. You know, I can travel. I can do things that I wanted to do. So it feels like, and I, in my 20s, I was having babies. So I'm kind of reliving those right now.
Yeah, you're catching up for lost time. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. All right. You're listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. Give us a call at 813-239-9663. You can email us at dj@wmnf.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. Nadia, since you left Tampa, the last thing that, or the one of the most recent things is, now that you've gone to the whole zip code, you have to put the phone prefix 813 to dial. And I've been doing that all along. I don't know who was just dialing seven numbers, but Now we're at 10. So I know you do that in Dallas for sure. So
right.
So Nadia, with this trip, have there been any revelations since?
I think it was one of the first times that I had been with people who knew me before, and how I was in my previous life, because really it was a previous life. It almost feels like a rebirth. I think I did get some clarity about, you know, okay, what do I want to do with my life? Where am I going? I need to make some decisions, those type of things. Especially when you are around people who are on their A game, you know, and mm-hmm. Who have a few years on me, and I'm like, well, you know, what is the word I want to use?
I wish I could fill in the blank for you, but I don't know.
There where we go. You go. They left an impression on me. You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
That's good. I feel like the questions you mentioned you were pondering, I've heard everyone from their, you know, early 20s to mid 30s to late 50s. Everyone's asking the same question. So I feel like there's no time at which, you know, people have it figured out.
Well, and then especially within the last, since 2020 with COVID, the whole world has changed.
I don't think anybody knows what they're doing.
Right. And so it's like people have reassessed their value systems. They have, you know, decided to make changes in their personal and business lives. And it's been brought on by COVID as the catalyst. So it's really...
I had a COVID divorce.
Yeah.
After about 2 weeks in isolation, I was like, oh, no. Oh, there is no way I can do this anymore. Oh, and I think there are a lot of COVID divorces. I wish
there are.
Like a family lawyer, mm-hmm. and they can tell us, you know, there were either COVID babies or COVID divorces. It was really bad or really good.
But people were not having COVID marriages. So.
No, they were not.
I did attend,
I think like some dating applications opened up for like, you know, worldwide, so you could talk to people, you know, across the world. And there were people who met like that. I've seen those things happening.
Wow.
People who, you know, started dating someone in Ireland or, you know, somewhere across the world.
I it's made me want to travel more, a lot more. And because before I would go, you know, very close to home, but now I want to go to Europe. I want to go all these places that I didn't feel such an urgency to go to before, but I do now. So, it's going to be interesting. Hopefully we can get some kind of containment on this virus and life can go back to somewhat normal. Let's see. DeAndre is on the road and he's given us a call. So let's see. I'm going to put Amina on hold so we can talk to DeAndre. Hi, DeAndre.
Hey, hello. Good morning. How are you guys doing?
We're doing fine. How are you?
Doing pretty good. I thought you guys were going to go on about the Gasparilla Parade and its history.
Yes, we are. Yes. Sounds like you're gonna segue us in real fast.
Yeah. So I basically.
Oops. Darn it. Somehow or another, DeAndre got cut off. Please call back, DeAndre, because we definitely want to hit the ground running with that. That's our main theme for the show. Amina, can you hear me?
I can.
Awesome. Okay, I think we also have lost Nadia. This is too much technology to expect of me at this hour of the morning. So DeAndre, please call back. Nadia, please call back. Yes, DeAndre was about to take us into the history of the Gasparilla Parade, which is very important. As I said, it's my favorite time of the year. And I only recently became acquainted with some of the more disappointing and alarming, actually, facts about it. So we'll wait for DeAndre to call back before we start hitting that hard.
Yeah, he left on a cliffhanger.
Yes. And it was perfect because it's right where we were going. And so what we'll do is we'll start giving the history of the parade and the festival. It's for those of you who don't know anything about Gasparilla. It's a celebration that's held every year. It actually goes multiple weeks because there are different activities. For example, last week was the children's parade. There's also an art festival, a music festival. So, but the main daytime parade is going to be on Saturday, which also is supposed to be like one of the coldest days of the year ever.
It is. It's a high of 49.
I can't believe that. That is just outrageous. So yeah, we're gonna have to be, you know, bundled up like in cocoons pretty much. Mm-hmm. So but
I have a confession.
What?
I've never participated in Gasparilla anything.
Oh, okay. See,
I've lived here 20 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, well, and I'll tell you how I fell upon it. When I first moved to Florida, they were talking about Gasparilla, Gasparilla, Gasparilla. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, that sounds an awful lot like Mardi Gras. And having come from Louisiana, and I mean, we used to get Mardi Gras a day off at school. So,
really?
Yes. Yes. I think they probably still do that because it's become ingrained pretty much. So, I went to the first one I went to, there were, it was on Bayshore, and it's wild on Bayshore. I mean, there's so many people. Not, you know, it's nothing compared to Mardi Gras because Mardi Gras is far more wild, but it's a slightly tamer version. So I'm like, oh, I loved it. And you dress like a pirate. So it's like it checked all my boxes, let's say.
I'm jealous, Liz. You seem so, you're such a Gasparilla ambassador.
Well, and then I find out, because we were going to talk about the parade and the festival this week on the show, and so in doing some research, I found out, which was where I think DeAndre was going, and I hope he calls back, it's actually got a racist history. And so that was back in the time, in 1991, Sandy Friedman was the mayor of Tampa. And the crew that was hosting Gasparilla that year, they were all white men. And so it coincided with the Super Bowl being held in Tampa that year. And what they did was the Super Bowl and its affiliates and all that, they had a look at this all white male crew, and they're like, this seems to be a problem here. You know, we need to get some diversity in here. And the crew refused to take membership from black men. And refused to diversify. And so the mayor, Sandy Friedman, she said, well, you know, I'm gonna take away all the city part of the festival. In other words, I'm not going to provide police and all the city resources in order to fund this racist event. And she said, either you guys diversify or we're not going to have the parade this year. And they were like, no, we're not going to diversify, you know. Pretty much told her to go pound sand. So she canceled the festival that year. And so, yeah, it wasn't held in 1991. There was a kind of knockoff festival held instead. But the rain was so bad that day, hardly anybody went to it. And since then, there's been some improvement in diversity. For example, at the last report I could find, the crew in question, the one that had hosted the festival, had a very small number of black folks. However, there are now black crews like the Buffalo Soldiers. And so the parade itself has diversified, but it seems like there's still a long way to go. There are some crews that do, they have open membership, and I think all of them technically have membership that's non-discriminatory, but it's like, okay, what do you have to do to get through and get a place on this crew? And it's led me onto all kinds of research about the how do you join a crew and things like that.
Mm-hmm. So you forgot to cover the crew we're making, the Macho Feminist.
Oh. Yeah, so while we're talking about all these crews and everything, I'm like, we need to make our own crew. And so we're throwing around the names right now, and Macho Feminist is one of
That's my name contribution.
That's your name contribution, yes.
Thanks to a lovely caller who gave us that.
Yeah. And that's certainly going to make the clip real all day long. So let's talk to DJ in Tampa. Hi, DJ.
Great morning, ladies. This is DJ Smells So Good on the check-in.
Hey, how you doing?
I'm excellent. Happy 2022 to you guys.
Yes.
Okay, so I got two kind of, I guess, pet peeves.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so one is about the Gasparilla Parade. Okay, first of all, I can't get past the concept of how we celebrate a pirate. The definition of a pirate mm-hmm. is a person that steals, loots, murders, pillages, rapes, does all the vile things. There's no good pirate.
Right.
You never heard of a good pirate in history. So, I mean, how do we get back to celebrating something that's so vile?
Right.
I mean, and we celebrate on a large scale.
Yes.
My real pet peeve, though, for Tampa as a whole, compared to St. Pete, because St. Pete don't do no Gasparilla, nowhere else in the world does Gasparilla. But Martin Luther King, which is, right before Gasparilla, gets no attention, no press. It had the route cut. It gets none of the sponsors that the Gasparilla gets. It gets none of the community involvement. Community involvement meaning it is not a black parade. So it should not just be a bunch of black people standing around watching people walk down the streets.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no floats. There's no floats in the Martin Luther King parade. And this is my fifth year. I DJ and call out all the floats, bands, and all that kind of stuff. I'm tired of seeing the funeral homes come through a parade.
Right.
I'm tired of seeing the imagery set. And the way that the imagery is set is a bunch of police riding around on horseback, carts, and all this kind of stuff. Which you go to the Gasparilla Parade, you do not see. Everybody is free to kind of just be all or do what they want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And operate at any year of Martin Luther King Parade is heavy, heavy surveillance. There's a lack of not just female officers, there's a lack of black officers, Asian officers, diversity period on a day that this man, Martin Luther King, directly stood for.
Right.
Preached. But then we turn right around and we give extreme carte blanche to something, to what you said, and you see the amount of money that goes into that parade just to get on a silly boat.
Right.
To sit up here and ride down and not even put your message out and get your message put out.
Mm-hmm.
The messages that came through Martin Luther King, every single person that came through with their lawn care service, with this, that, including the city,
uh-huh.
nobody had any kind of representation of Martin Luther King.
That's a great point, DJ.
I'm saying I contacted. I'm all the way back when Buckhorn and everybody was walking through, and I said this to them every single time.
Right.
The only ones that come through and show diversity is the Hillsborough County Sheriff's Department.
Uh-huh.
The only ones mm-hmm. that got women coming through. I'm talking about dressed to the T, dressed for the moment, dressed like they recruiting, which is that's what y'all are doing.
Right.
And if you're gonna do it, then do it correctly.
Huh. Okay. So
interesting. There's so much to unpack there. One, yes, we're glorifying. We have a history of glorifying questionable people.
Right. Well, look, I mean, and it's not even a real pirate. So it's
not even a real pirate.
Yeah, it's a made-up pirate that we're glorifying. And it's, I suppose that's how the Buccaneers got their name is...
They built that whole theme. They commercialized the whole theme around it. Once they found out people would invest money into it, and these big doctors and all that will put money every year into this, and that money will go back into the city. Yeah, they fell for the okie doke and said, yeah, let's go ahead and turn this into something.
Right. Wow. Yeah. This has we could talk about this for days on end, DJ. Gosh.
Well, I just wanted to speak to the people out there, you know, because I'm tired of Facebooking, you know, messages.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
That's out there. You need to change our parade next year. It's our parade. It's not a black parade. Get the stigmatism off of it. It's not a black parade because that's not what Martin Luther King stood for. He stood for the people.
Right.
It's the people's parade.
Right. And so, and DJ, if you'll call back and leave your phone number, because I'd like to get a hold of you afterwards so we can plan up for next year's Martin Luther King Parade and make it a whole lot more diverse than what it's been. So
I was in the St. Pete Parade. I was marching in that one, and
They swinging, though. The whole community was there. You see black, white, Puerto Rican, Asian, all the store owners. The whole entire community comes out each and every year for their parade.
Right.
So, yeah, let's... let's
with their bands and everything. Come on, people. We got to tighten up, man.
Right.
We got to get back to that Columbus Day crap. The Pirates Day crap. I mean, come on, man. Matter of fact, they don't even give you a day off for Martin Luther King, but yet they give you a day off for the fair.
We got it. Yeah, I think Martin Luther King Day has gotten to be a pretty big holiday as far as getting, like, it's a federal holiday. I know,
but it's so many people that just don't take the day off. They work.
They
work, and you see what I'm saying?
Yes, I do. Yeah.
But everybody taking off of gas really.
Right.
So they can get drunk, stupid, and have recovery time.
Exactly. Well, yeah, you're everything you said is 100% correct. So yeah.
But yeah, I'll call back and drop my number. Not a problem.
Awesome. Thanks so much, DJ.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Have a great day, ladies.
You too. Bye bye.
All right.
Now DeAndre has arrived in Waimama.
Yes, hey,
I'm so sorry that I hung up on you earlier. It was I was trying to get everybody on at once, and it just did not work out.
It's all good, and I'm sorry that we weren't able to keep that connection with the host from way back, keeping that connection going. The reason why I called is because I come to a determination. Given all the history, like black history of Tampa, I just come to think about it. It's like, wait a minute, we're in the South.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Tampa was a Confederate city. So what about Tampa's Confederate history? Okay. And the time that a lot of those statues that we're complaining about this past few years in Tampa or Hillsborough County were put up along the timeline when, you know, some of the black villages were torn down, you know, around the county and around the state. When highways were being put up, these were in the times where, you know, those same people who and their family and the successors of those families, whether they were in city council, county council, you know, some business, some club, Italian club in particular, and I want to get that ferreted out real quick. You know, it is when all these places were being paved over and black people were being terrorized, those same people who were doing the terrorism were on those floats.
Mm. Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's a smokescreen for what was going on, you know, 40 years ago, 40 years prior to the inception of Gasparilla, which is like a big PR campaign to clean up Tampa's history. This is a smokescreen for Tampa's Confederate history. To be real, I just come to that conclusion. I grew up in the Central Park Projects. We'd go to those parades all the time. I worked down in Ybor. I would actually help clean up some of the mess in the little place that I worked at for all these different little Gasparilla functions. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And while they're, you know, paving over a namesake like Mr. Meacham, you know, a Tampa namesake, his grave, when he moved here after he was enslaved and then rose to state senate, or no, excuse me, U.S. Senate, they paved over his grave. And then in the 90s, later, eventually, with Central Park Project, tore down his school, a namesake school. So it's a smokescreen. I don't respect it. I'm sad to have been involved with it now for so long. Okay, but that's what I wanted to say.
Well, thank you so much for calling, DeAndre. We always enjoy talking to you, and you seem to be on the road an awful lot. So.
Yeah, I'm a rideshare driver.
Okay, gotcha. Gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you so much for calling.
Well, thank you for having this forum.
Absolutely. Talk to you soon. Thank you.
Absolutely. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So you're listening to Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. You can give us a call at 813-239-9663. You can email us at dj@wmnf.org, or you can text to 813-433-0885. So many good points this morning. Gosh, I mean, it's like it's you look at something superficially and you don't look under the layers of it, but they've both given me such great ideas about, I mean, it's really eye-opening, and I really enjoy talking to folks who have that kind of perspective, because now that DeAndre has said, oh, you know, the people riding these floats are the ones that are doing all this bad stuff. And now I'm thinking, well, shoot, it's like that in New Orleans too. You know, all the moneyed folks were the ones who started the cruise there. And so, of course, they were the ones who were keeping black people down. So it's, my mind is totally blown this morning.
Right. Like people are very aware of, you know, and it's never too late to come to these realizations, but you know, I find it sad that he says, you know, he regrets being involved so long. It's just we made the best decisions we could with the information at the time, you know. So now that he knows differently or feels differently, there's a way to correct course or do something else or raise awareness, which he's doing. So
yeah, absolutely,
that's a really great thing.
Yeah. We have some emails here. You're on fire this morning. John from Port Richey says, thanks for the show. There should be a crew called the Somali Pirates. Let's see. All right. I can't read the others, so. But, yeah, it's... it's really very interesting, and I think it's something that we need to explore in more detail, because, I want to find out how many crews there are, how much diversity there is within each crew, and see, you know, what exactly we're supporting. That's on the one hand. On the other hand, I think we also need to talk about, you know, why does the Martin Luther King Parade not get this kind of participation? Because I think those are both valid points. Let's talk to you. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, as far as like the steps that have been taken by the city and the Gasparilla organizers, they claim that it no longer reflects that history. You know, discrimination and segregation, but you know, is it enough?
But it's like, take your floats and go run them in the Martin Luther King parade.
Mm-hmm.
Why can't you do that?
Mm-hmm.
It's like a practice
That's
run.
A good question.
It's like a practice run for Gasparilla, if you want to look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's talk to Clay in Land O'Lakes. Hi, Clay.
Greetings and good morning, ladies. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I'm a native Tampian, native Floridian, one of the endangered species. And so I've lived here the whole time. The Gasparilla has been going on. Some of my dad used to take the kids and us too when it's back on Bayshore. I never liked the thing. I never understood why it was we would celebrate a pirate who supposedly came into the city, raped, pillaged, and stole things. That was just, to me, the stupidest thing ever. You know, there were all kinds of great things to celebrate. So I'm right there with DJ Smells So Good. And I also agree with that about the Martin Luther King Day parades, that they need to be so much more diverse, and they need to be having the same kind of corporate sponsors and everyone else engages and making a big deal about it, because there's more to celebrate with Martin Luther King than there is with a made-up guy who was a rapist, a pillagist, a thief. I don't even get why we do that.
Yeah.
I think it's completely out of whack, and I haven't been since I was a kid, and I never intend to go to anything to do with Gasparilla anymore.
All right.
Celebration.
That's interesting. I've been there to pick up some drunk friends from Soho after the day's activities, and I saw a car take off I'm grasping at the name, but the car mirrors on the side.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yes,
right. I mean, they just took it off. Like the car, it was in Soho, so like that area, Hyde Park area, and the streets are pretty narrow. And especially in that Soho area where the clubs are, it gets really packed.
Right.
And it was just really rowdy. People were out in the street, and cars were trying to get out, and somebody had like taken off the mirror off the car and just kept driving.
Mm.
You know, Gasparilla has been used as a time for people to behave badly, unfortunately.
That's all I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it was on Bayshore, the people who lived on Bayshore hated having it on Bayshore because people would come to the yards and urinate and do whatever else they would do, leaving, not to mention all the trash they'd leave behind and all. It really wasn't and hasn't always been this greatest celebration. I don't know why we do it. We have a lot greater things we could celebrate than a pirate.
Right.
So,
all right.
Thanks
well,
for doing the show. Oh,
thank
one
you.
Last thing. You guys were going to talk about the ritual burning of dresses today with...
Yes. And unfortunately, I got cut off from Nadia. We didn't actually have a ritual burning of dresses. It was more of a figurative burning of dresses. Yeah, but we decided those dresses had seen enough and done enough and might even have been cursed. So we...
One of them got cut up, right?
Yeah, Donna's got cut off of her at the hospital. And so Nadia and I were packing up to leave, and I'm like, I can't take this dress home. Let's sage the place.
you're one of the best shows, Colin shows left on the radio because, you're so disrespectful. I don't know.
I take offense.
Thanks so much, Clay. Bye-bye. So we have Donna, our co-host, calling in. Hey, Donna. Donna? Where'd she go?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, there you are. Taking your husband and dropping him off. Good.
Yeah.
Donna, were you able to hear what the last two callers were saying about Gasparilla?
I don't know what's your phone situation, but we can't hear you.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so I'm with Clay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I dropped him off for a surgical procedure this morning and just got him over at the VA. And
Oh, you went out.
Yeah.
You seem to be fading in and out.
All right, I'm trying to get to a place where I'm kind of trapped. All right, put me on hold for a second.
Okay. Well, you know how that goes. There's no promises that you're going to stay on hold.
Well, then, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, so let me just say this. If you had looked at my Facebook page a few years ago, you would have seen me questioning, why are we celebrating rapists and marauders,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Who flew under the Jolly Roger flag, which is a flag of death and destruction.
Okay.
All right. And so I'm wondering, okay. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. So I'm wondering why, first of all, we have this celebration of rapists, marauders. I mean, these guys were notorious. They were stopping ships. Hopefully some of them were slave ships and taking the cargo. I hope they're setting the slaves free. But that's probably not what they were doing. And they invaded Tampa and came into Tampa Bay, Gasper and his crew, and they raped. And they robbed and they took, and I'm sure the Native Americans probably experienced piracy a little different than others. So I don't know why we had that celebration. I'm unsure of it. And I'm also, but it makes sense that that would be a segregated, offensive group of moneyed people who were keeping people who were not as fortunate as them out. So I understand why it's racist, and I'm kind of glad it's racist. And you can't tell me that it's not still racist because the founding crew has really not been integrated. And Tampa is 25% black, and none of the crews. As a matter of fact, the article that you posted the other day, Liz, we were discussing this, said that only four black crew members in 1991 when the city wanted the Super Bowl, wanted the event to be integrated, and the leaders refused, and as such, the event was canceled rather than be integrated. 1991.
Right. That was the very most shocking thing to me. It's like, how are you going to have something that's segregated in 1991?
Yeah. But there are a lot of things that are segregated in 2022. Right? Take heart.
Yeah.
When genius occurs at the same frequency in every population. So MIT, any of these elite schools, any elite organization, a law firm, a university, we're still very much a segregated society. We still have black neighborhoods and white neighborhoods and Latinx neighborhoods.
Right.
So we're by no means a post-racial society, although some people would like to believe that. I personally, as a black person that's lived in Seattle and New York and Houston and North Dakota, can tell you that Tampa is very racist. And I think you need to look no further than, you know, who our city leaders are and how they conduct themselves and what their histories look like.
Right.
In the public eye.
That's true, yes. And it's really interesting to me that this crew that was hosting in 1991, that they chose to totally just trash the whole thing rather than take black members. That blows my mind.
It's shutting down a store because they want to unionize.
Yeah.
So there's a couple people suing, for example, trying to basically end affirmative action in Ivy League schools. But when you look at it, Ivy League schools predominantly accept, there are way more like legacy students, for example, than there are any students accepted through, you know, a process where they're trying to improve diversity. So really, like, Liz, you're saying you're shocked, but to this day, there are things happening that are strictly attacking either black students, black people. You know, you just have to look a little deeper and see what's behind it, because even this act of suing the Ivy League to overturn that, it's not even targeting the actual problem of you know, the legacy students and how many are accepted
right.
because a parent or somebody went.
Exactly. Yeah. And I guess I have the the typical, you know, well, if it doesn't affect me, I'm not looking at it. So I'm not even thinking about MIT. And it's like, but you're absolutely right. Yeah. Let's get rid of the legacy admissions and then it won't be a problem.
But if they get rid of the legacy admissions, they're going to
lose money.
Oh, boo-hoo, you know?
If they get rid of the legacy admissions, then you kill a line of funding that comes from prominent graduates. Alumni, mm-hmm. right? And so that's the thing. It's really greasing the wheel. And just let me tell you, right now, I'm working on getting one black girl from Minneapolis into an elite school in Illinois. And you have no idea how many Connors and Chads and Justins and Senators it's taken to get this kid into this school.
Wow.
When she's absolutely qualified. And so I don't like to beat people over the head with the phone back, because I think the average person knows that we live in a society that has like deep divisions in it. Like, and they're not just racial, right? We're talking about disabled people, older people, kids that are neurodivergent. We have all types of ways to alienate huge swaths of our society.
Right.
And so I don't want, because I'm black, right? I don't want people to think that I am unaware of other forms of discrimination. But because racial discrimination is something that is rooted in our society and really in its founding, it predates the origins of our founding charters. And it's written into them. And I think that until we resolve that problem, we have very little hope of resolving any of our other social ills. That's my opinion. I may be wrong, but I just don't think, as long as there's racism, there's going to be all of the other issues. There's going to be misogyny.
Right.
There's going to be rape apologies.
Absolutely.
Republican.
Yeah. We've got a text message from one of our listeners. It says, not defending the racist and exclusionary past, but I do think that one of the reasons why Gasparilla is a bigger event than the MLK parade is because most communities have MLK parade, whereas Gasparilla is one of a kind. It's a huge economic driver for the city since lots of people travel to attend versus most people celebrate MLK locally in their own communities.
Well, let me just jump right in there and say this. If Pride has been able in a few short years to integrate its program, right, when it was a marginal issue at best 30 years ago, right, if the Pride organizers can figure it out, the Gasparilla organizers can figure it out. Because we can compare those two events because they're just large parties.
Right.
And they're a celebration of some aspect of our society. And so if that's the case, and Martin Luther King is political and people can put all of this stuff on it and say that, oh, it's just because of this or that, how come Pride has figured it out but Gasparilla has not?
True. All right, Donna, I'm going to put you on hold so we can talk to Teresa in Avon Park, okay?
Okay.
All right. Teresa, are you there?
Can you hear me, dears?
Yes.
Okie dokie, let me tell you something. You guys are already on it. My suggestion, you're already doing it. I know you are. But let me speak it because I think people need to hear more clarity about it. Avoid the stupid pirate parade and go and make a movement of people that will come to Tampa from all over. Avon Park doesn't have a Martin Luther King parade or anything worth having. So let's go to that. Let's start, like those gentlemen said, let's go to the gravesites of the heroes of the movement. But I'll tell you one thing. In a way, and forgive me, this is a confession, all right? In this corporate sphincter society, corporate surveillance, corporate dominance of our representatives, ba 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 boop, in light of that, I personally could celebrate criminal activity because, in a way, you're getting over on the power that be.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And God Almighty Himself and Jesus was very radical, you see. So sometimes you just got to take the bull by the horns. And look, I don't like rapists. I'm not going to celebrate rapists. I never even considered going to that foolish pirate parade. I didn't understand it. I'm from New Jersey. I'm like, come on. But we have our own pirate issues in New Jersey, too. Let's celebrate the heroes. Let's celebrate us. Gosh, start it.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for calling, Teresa.
Listen, I wrote a song, and someday when the topic comes up, I'll call you and sing it.
Okay.
It's called Me Too, Baby.
Me Too, Baby. Okay. Awesome. Love the energy this early in the morning. Jeez. I envy it.
I'm a day bird. I'm a day bird.
Ah, okay. Thanks for calling, Teresa.
Dad, you're doing it. This show is doing it, honey.
Thank you.
Let's get on it deeper. Let's get out all the people in the bird. Avon Park and Sebring and Frostproof and everything. We ain't got nothing from Martin Luther King. We would come to Tampa. We will.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Teresa.
I love that.
Wow. I wish I had that much energy this year. I'm not a day bird. I'm a night bird. So it's like, wow.
To where Teresa is. There isn't enough.
Yeah.
There may be other things, but coffee isn't it. So, you guys, are we filming up Gasparilla or are we not? Like, what's the verdict here? Like, Liz, you are an enthusiast, so tell us what's on your mind.
Well, it's, and I was thinking when DeAndre was talking, I'm like, it hit me all of a sudden that, hey, you know, he's absolutely right. These are the moneyed folks, the landowners, the wealthy folks who are making the cruise. Although I think now that Gasparilla has gotten bigger, there are some crews with just regular folks. But it's gotten me thinking back to my childhood and all the folks on the Mardi Gras floats. And I'm like, wait a minute, he's right. And the people from back then, that and still probably today, although I think it's probably got a more representative policy now, but it's like, it's kind of like it's tarnished it for me, I think. But I want to, it hasn't dissuaded me from going. The cold weather is a factor, certainly, but I want to go to see exactly with my own eyes how many, mm-hmm. how diverse these crews are.
But it's in front of your home, right? You can do it.
Yeah, it's right down the block from my house, so.
You know, I think that if people plan to go, I think they should go. But, you know, we're coming out of COVID. There's been a shortage of joy and revelry and merrymaking to go around, right?
Uh-huh.
And so if you've got your bar wench costume out of the cleaners and covered in plastic and, you know, you got your Jell-O shots, your rolling cooler, I think you should go and have a good time. Life is short, right? But I think that next year, we really, because we'll be post-COVID, hopefully, knock on wood, guys, that we should really rethink how we are entering the space. And I think that we should make it known, like what Teresa said. There should be a movement to make it known. This is the history of Gasparilla, and this is what the city is asking. The city people are asking of city planners, city leaders, that Gasparilla should look like, and that they should be spearheading the effort to make it merrymaking and revelry for all wish to attend. And it should be a comfortable space, because if it's the largest party in our city, if we don't have a Stanley Cup or a Super Bowl, then we should, Vince Lombardi, we should definitely be making this accessible, and we should be actively seeking out a way to bring people from all segments of our community into the space.
Right. Amina, what are your thoughts, having heard having never been and having heard the stuff?
Sounds like I'm not missing much. So, and I have a conflict the weekend of anyway.
So, yeah, it's, I do want to go, number one, because I've already got the costume. Number two, because I want to see, and maybe we can do a follow-up after the parade next week. How much diversity is there really? Because, I mean, I've always seen black folks in the parade. And so it never occurred to me that entire crews are whites only. And so I want to see that. I want to write down their names and follow up and figure out, okay, how is it you're getting away with this in 2022?
Right. I like it.
All right. So thank you all for joining us on Surly Voices on WMNF Tampa 88.5. Please join us again next week, and we will see you then.